Renee, compulsive overeater, grateful emotional eater. So I like to introduce myself these days. I'm very happy to be here. I love this meeting. So I was really touched that you asked me to be the first speaker. So thank you for that. I've been abstinent for about 19 months, 19 and a half months. I've been in OA before. This definitely is the most successful I've ever been. And it's because I've planted seeds. And those seeds have grown, and they've grown roots, and they're holding me here, and this meeting is part of that. So I'm really glad to be here. I've never done this before, but I'm going to go ahead and screen share really quick and show you me in 2018. My BiPAP machine was part of my life every day, 24 hours a day. I had gained so much weight I could not breathe unassisted on my own, just long enough to wash my hair. And then this, whoops, sorry. Now everybody's looking at my Facebook. And then that picture was about a month ago. And no BiPAP. I can go places. I'm not tied to batteries, because I had two batteries. These batteries lasted a maximum of 4 hours each, if I was really lucky. So I was chained to the house a lot. And honestly, back then, it didn't matter because I didn't go anywhere anyway. I had no hope. I felt hopeless. I felt like I was just waiting to die. And I had been in OA before. I could never fully committed to being a compulsive overeater. I could never admit to it. I just came to lose weight. I just wanted to lose weight. I would attend the meetings in the outskirts, you know, sit around the perimeter in the back of the room back then, face to face, never making friends, never connecting, never, you know, I did get a sponsor each time. That was like the most I ever did, but gripped with fear and social anxiety and complete and utter feelings of uselessness, I didn't feel like I had anything to offer. And when I would say, my name's Renee, I'm a compulsive overeater, I felt like I was lying. I was not telling the truth because I didn't feel it. I didn't feel it. I couldn't accept it as the problem. So once I finally accepted it, in 2020 is when I came back to OA, November 2020. I did so much damage to my body with food from 2016, the prior time I was in OA, to 2020. It was insane. That's when I had to be dependent on my BiPAP for breathing. So there was absolutely no doubt that I was a compulsive overeater. And I was desperate. I was absolutely desperate when I came in the rooms because I decided I didn't want to die anymore. Before, I was literally just waiting to die. I was waiting to die. I was just eating. That's the only thing that gave me any kind of momentary joy, happiness at all. I'm a grandma. I have four grandbabies. And they're like such beautiful little bright spots, but not even them. I couldn't even do it for them. I mean, I just couldn't. I was just desperate. And when I came in here into these rooms, November 22nd, 2020, I decided I was going to do absolutely anything and everything that I needed to do to get help. And that included going on camera if necessary. And I didn't want to because I had a BiPAP. You guys would see me with it sometimes. I still use it when I'm sitting in bed. So, but the magic is I don't need it all the time. When I'm up in my wheelchair, I don't need it. So, I mean, it was just, I was willing to do anything. You know, you hear a lot in OA about willingness, and And what, you know, having that gift of desperation, and I had it, I did. But I just want to talk a little bit about what brought me here and what my life was before OA. And briefly, I wear the BiPAP because I have a muscle disease. I have a form of muscular dystrophy. It's called Charcot-Marie Tooth. Unfortunately, it's named after a doctor with the last name of Tooth. There's nothing wrong with my teeth. But it's a it's a hereditary neuropathy disorder. My mom has it. And she doesn't have it as bad as me, though. Nobody does that I know. But I grew up disabled. And my parents broke up when I was 4. And I had to live with my mom and my stepdad. Grew up. I was always really close to my dad. And my brother lived with my dad. I was always really close to my brother, still am. And my dad, he's passed away. But there wasn't room for me there. They lived in a one-bedroom apartment. There was just no room for me. Plus, my dad worked a lot, and there was no supervision. So I had to be with my mom and my stepdad. My mom was very abusive, emotionally, physically. She would humiliate me in front of my friends, make fun of me. Always talk about my weight. Back then, I could walk. I could walk until I was 13-ish, ninth grade of high school. That's more 14. I could walk till my ninth grade, but I always was a little bit heavier. And well, take that back. I was really, really thin until fourth grade. I gained no weight from like the second to third grade. I was really tiny. I'm still short. But my mom, even they were worried about me, took me to the doctor. Like, what's wrong with her? She hasn't gained any weight. Well, I caught up. And the home life was hard. The only friends I had on my street lived right next door, and they moved away. I used to go to their house all the time. I'd eat dinner with their family, play with them. The parents were so involved in their lives, and they were just really a sweet, cute little family. And I remember just being over there all the time, and they moved away. And when they moved away, I was alone. I was alone a lot. And that's when I turned to food. The weight started to come on. My mom would make comments about my weight. I can remember being maybe fifth grade, like 11, 12 years old, and her telling me that she was sick of looking at my fat belly and I needed to do something about it, yet offer absolutely no help and no direction on how to do that. I had no idea. I was 12. I was 11 years old. In the fifth grade, I had no idea what how to go on a diet. So in my mind, I thought I was just this huge, giant, obese, useless person. In addition to being disabled, when I was about in my early teens, I started to thin out a little bit, you know, natural baby, you know, those little baby fat started to go away and it got some little curves. I was still a little bit overweight. But my stepfather, he molested me a couple of times. And after that, I was so depressed and I couldn't trust my mom. I told no one that this happened until 2020. I told my best friend and then I told my husband. And now I do share it in meetings now. And the more I share about that, the less power it has over me. But it was hard. It was really hard. I semi-attempted suicide. Made a very poor attempt at it a few times, thankfully. But I was very unhappy as a kid. I was very much a classic redheaded stepchild. My stepfather barely spoke to me. When he did not speak to me, he was mean. I mean, when he did speak to me, he was mean. My mother would force me to say hello to him when he got home from work. And I never wanted to because he didn't want to talk to me. He would just grunt at me or just completely ignore me. And that was worse. So I had, you know, forward through high school. I never dieted. I wanted to. I would make plans. I remember getting this book once and making a menu and I was going to buy all these things. I did that a lot, actually. I probably did it 10 times that I can remember in high school, but I never followed through on any of those because I didn't know how. I couldn't ask my mom for anything. My dad lived at this point, Northern California. I live in Southern, and it just wasn't possible. So I would plan to go on these diets. Thank you. I planned to go on these diets, but never did it. So I kind of went through, I guess they called it breakdowns back then. I was 18. My mom kicked me out. Instead of getting me the help I needed, she kicked me out. I was super resentful, but honestly, that ended up being the best thing that ever happened to me in my life because I met my husband. And we've been married for 32 years. He's amazing. He is my biggest hero, biggest cheerleader. He does everything for me, literally everything for me. The older I get, the more my disability has affected me. I used to be very, very independent, but I'm not now. I'm very dependent on him. But thankfully, he's kind. And we like to be around each other, so that's a good thing. But I met him, and he was in AA. And my brother also was in AA. And so I would go to Al-Anon meetings. And there was this little like 12-step recovery club where people could hang out on the weekends and have dances and pool tables and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And that's where me and my friends would hang out. And, you know, go figure, an AA club. And that's where I met my husband. I don't necessarily, you know, recommend trolling AA places to find spouses, but it worked out for me. But and my sponsor, I was in Al-Anon. My sponsor was in OA, also in AA. So I was introduced to it back then, 1990. And then when I was about 28 years old, I decided I wanted to try OA. So I did. Stayed for about 3 months. Got a sponsor, never got involved, just left. Went back again. Actually, the first time was like 1990 something. And then again in 2004, and then again in 2016, and now. Been back since November 2020. So when I did came back this last time, I fully, like I said before, I fully accepted that I was a compulsive eater. There was no doubt at all in my mind. So I needed to do whatever I needed to do to stay here. And so I planted seeds, and I did that by getting involved, by getting service. I started as a newcomer greeter. Then I felt confident enough to turn on my camera. And then once I turned on my camera, I volunteered to lead meetings. I needed to do anything I needed to do to stay here. And what I haven't highlighted, and I probably should have spoke a little bit more about, since this is a chronic illness, pain and sensitivities meeting, is how my disability affected all of this. Well, I mean, it's been with me my whole life. I was diagnosed at 4, and I started not able to walk. Well, I started using a wheelchair in my 9th grade year of high school. By the time I was 18, I could still stand, but never not walk. I met my husband when I was 19, and he's never seen me do either. So, like I said, though, I was pretty independent. I could still do things on my own, take care of my personal self. I learned how to drive. My husband taught me how to drive. I can do a lot of things for myself, but because of this disease and the insidious ways that it affects people's lives, it grabs a hold of me big time. Right after I left OA in 2016, and it's still with me, but right now it's at bay. I am doing everything I can to stay in recovery and to stay emotionally, physically, and spiritually in recovery. My disability makes things harder. It just does. I know you all, most of you here have some sort of illness or, you know, chronic condition. So you get it. And those of you that are here that don't, I'm sure you just can imagine, but it has made things harder. I never thought I could do anything to be of service in OA, because face-to-face meetings, you know, what are you going to do? Stack chairs, you know, pass out things. My hands don't work like that. And I can't walk and I can't move chairs. So I didn't know how I was going to do anything here, but I found ways because of the magic and the blessing of Zoom. OA Footsteps is completely virtual. And I knew when I found it finally that I was going to make a home here, and I have. And I love this program so much. It's what I do all day. I tell my husband, it's like my job. I mean, I work with sponsees now, and I try to give experience. Thank you. I try to give experience, strength, and hope in every meeting that I go to. I try to surround myself with people that are like-minded, that want to serve people and serve the greater good and get the message out and help people, help compulsive eaters overcome this and be a guide and a beacon of hope, because that's what I needed. I needed somebody like me, and I found people like me. I found you guys, and I found people that get it. You get it. Some people just don't understand. And you know, an average able-bodied person with no issues that has this disease, it's already hard enough. But when you add that mix of a chronic illness or a disability, I mean, our lives are just day to day, waking up is hard. I mean, I have to have help to do everything. And I'm just really blessed that my husband is on board with my whole food plan, or I'd be in a lot of trouble. But I had to be humble, and I had to stop feeling guilty for asking what I needed, because I would feel guilty to ask for these, you know, healthy things, or because they're a little bit harder. Can't just run to the convenience store or to the drive-thru. I needed something, you know, prepared. And I didn't want to ask because my husband does so much. So I figured it out. We're working it out. And this program is keeping me here. And like I said, I've planted those seeds and I've built those roots, and those roots are keeping me so firm to this program that it's making it hard for me to even, you know, take some time off. I had a family reunion like a week or so ago, and I was gone for like 5 days. And when I got back, I felt like, oh my gosh, like this is hard coming back. But I got back right back into it. You know, took me a few days, but I did it. And I did that. It was easy for me. Would have been so easy in the past just for me to forget it. I'm going to go on to something different. That's what I always did with every diet and with every other, you know, healthy idea plan I ever did. But because I'm completely immersed in this program, it was easier for me to come back. So that's what I want to talk to you newcomers today. Don't be afraid of service. Even timing, even like timing a meeting or reading a thing, or you know, someone volunteers, you want to do some chat announcements, or do it, because it's going to keep you here. Make a commitment to be at a meeting, because it'll keep you there. It'll help you make easier to show up. Because I know for us, most compulsive overeaters were people pleasers. We don't want to hurt people's feelings. So we're going to show up because we don't want them to be upset or whatever. So, you know, I recommend giving service. And if that looks like just showing up to a meeting, that's okay too. Because what I say every time I lead a meeting is, even if then, you know, even showing up to a meeting in and of itself is giving service, because we can't have a meeting without you. So, even if you think you're not helping, you are. Just being here is helping. And what my program looks today is I call my sponsor twice a week. I'm working through the steps. I'm in the fourth step, doing it through the 12 and 12. I've already done the steps before, but I'm redoing them. And I do a nightly inventory every single night. I've never done that before, but I've done it for 52 nights in a row. And I feel really good about that. I love the consistency. I work with my sponsees. I have 4 or 5 sponsees right now. I work with them. I have a food plan. I stick to that no matter what. I do not eat anything in between. I have three meals a day and that's it. And those meals are healthy. I don't eat white flour or obvious sugar. And I show up to meetings and I lead. And I'm also on the OA Footsteps Intergroup board. I'm the secretary. So I'm here. I'm here. I'm going to be here. I feel like this program is something that I waited my whole life to understand and to find. Even though I found it before, I guess I wasn't ready. That's why I've accepted. I just wasn't ready. I hadn't hit my bottom yet. But I definitely did. And because of these rooms and because of people like you, I've saved my life. I've released 96 pounds. I've got a little bit of ways to go. But I never thought I could do that ever, ever. I've never lost any more than like 25 or 30 pounds my whole life. So thank you. So the fact that I'm happy and I have not just some physical recovery, but I fully have emotional and spiritual recovery is a miracle. And I wasn't happy before, but I am now. And that is a really amazing thing that I can say. And I hope that all for you as well. And don't leave before the miracle happens, because it will happen. Again, my name is Renee. I'm a compulsive eater, and I'm so glad to be here.